Charles Crowe in 1978 wrote in Christian Clippings, "One of the highest crosses in the world is on top of the Chicago Temple. And some years ago, a traffic jam occurred on the streets and sidewalks around the building. And thousands of busy people stopped and they looked upward. And there was a reason for this unusual interest. There was a man doing repair work on the cross high above the street. The cross itself was there every day, but no one looked at it. But everyone became interested when there was a man on the cross." The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 14, "May I never boast except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." When you read the epistles, you can't help but be awestruck, astonished by the character of the Apostle Paul. We are aware of his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. He was Saul of Tarsus, the greatest antagonist of the Christian faith. And through this dramatic conversion, he becomes the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary the church has ever seen. His life journey was God-inspired. He wrote 13 remarkable epistles or letters, which became part of the New Testament, and some feel that it completed the New Testament. He left an imprint on Christian theology. He was influential in spreading the Christian faith. He wrote, "All scripture is God-breathed," a term meaning created by God. He was an instrument of God. Some writers have said he was the second most important person in the New Testament, possibly better known than Jesus because of his writings. And in the letters of Galatians, it wasn't necessarily written for a specific group, some people think, but others think maybe it was written to the churches in southern Galatia and written for Christians everywhere. It was written to refute the Judaizers, a group of people who taught that Gentile believers must obey the Jewish law in order to be saved. And it was written to call Christians back to the pure gospel, to faith and freedom. And in Galatians 6:11-18, we are brought to the attention of the controversy in the early church, the relationship between the new believers, the Gentiles, and the Judaizers. When one reads the book of Galatians, you become aware that Paul's letter is really about freedom, a charter of freedom. He's proclaiming that there is freedom in Christ. Freedom from the law, freedom from the power of sin, and freedom to serve our Lord and Savior. But Paul also conveys to us that with freedom comes accountability, responsibility. And we must be careful not to abuse, misuse, misrepresent, misinterpret. Many times people given freedom think of it as a license to commit sin or vandalism. The majority of the first converts and early church leaders were Jewish Christians. They proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah. But the Jewish Christians had a dilemma. They struggled with what one could only describe as almost trying to live a double life. They had a dual identity. The first identity was their Jewishness, which compelled them to follow a strict Jewish law or Jewish laws. The second identity brought them in conflict because a new life in Christ offered freedom, a freedom to celebrate. And here was Paul the Apostle, preaching that the good news was for all people, Gentiles and Jews alike. And he expounded further, emphasizing that one salvation was attained by grace, God's grace. God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus and nothing more. If you had faith in Christ, you had true freedom. And so we come to Galatians 6, verse 11, and he says, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. What makes this so interesting? Well, one, the large letters. Some writers believe that Paul had poor eyesight. But he takes pen in hand because up to this point, many feel that he had dictated to a scribe. But to add emphasis to his message, to convey this powerful message about the cross that makes us free, he is saying, "See, I, Paul the Apostle, have taken pen in hand. I'm writing in large letters." And in verse 12, we are confronted with the controversy. The Gentile converts were being pressured to have circumcision. And the Judaizers were compelling, were thwarting, were saying that this was required to complete the Gentiles' conversion. But Paul immediately confronts this. Paul understands that what the Judaizers are trying to do is they are trying to gain power over the Gentiles, to enslave them. William Barclay, the theologian, said they looked upon the Gentiles as trophies to be won over. An interesting historical fact, Rome really tolerated Judaism, and they persecuted the followers of Jesus. If you became a Jew and you were a Gentile, you were protected from being mistreated. But with this new freedom, if the Gentiles were to protect themselves by this misinterpretation or misrepresenting of the term salvation, it made circumcision almost as a prerequisite to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. The Judaizers go further. They say, well, emphasizing circumcision, it's a proof of holiness. When you look at the Judaizers, they were very conveniently not following the other Jewish laws. They were false teachers, false prophets, compelling the Gentiles to submit to this little law. They weren't concerned about the spiritual growth of the Gentiles. They were merely concerned about this rite of passage to allow the Gentiles to become part of the church. They were glorifying a prerequisite. They were glorifying a ritual. And we see this in our society today, where people choose a specific principle, law, restriction, and they make it a measure of faith. If you don't believe in this, well, I'm sorry, you can't be a part of this church. How did Paul deal with this? He said, look to the rule of faith. The rule of thumb was the Bible. You look to the Bible for guidance, for direction. And he was saying, no one has the right to pick and choose the biblical principles that we believe in. The renowned theologian John Scott said, outward forms are valueless if inward reality is lacking. When you and I accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, what we have found in Christ alone. Another writer has said, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And Paul eloquently expresses that God's people is larger than the Jewish nation. It makes no difference whether you're Jew or Gentile in the sight of God. What's most important is that you trust in, you believe in, you have faith in, you embrace all the promises of God, and God will embrace you. We are bombarded in our culture, and I refer to it as a buffet culture. Offers up tantalizing delights, not so subtle enticements, invitation, temptations. A world right now that is filled with propaganda, the twisting of truths, the lack of faith, facts, and some cases, a rewriting of history. The Apostle Paul, though, he believed with his whole being that what we should be looking to is the cross of Christ And he says in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That is where you find truth. That is where you find guidance. That is where you find direction. Now, some of you may say boast. That means brag. No, in the original language, it meant rejoice in, celebrate in. Paul never bragged. He never bragged about talents. He never bragged about achievements. But he certainly rejected people who were trying to make a prerequisite or a ritual responsible for gaining salvation. If I asked you the question, what gives you an overwhelming sense of delight? I'm sure we'd have interesting answers. The Romans, what they didn't take delight in was a particular word. In fact, that word they referred to as the unlucky tree. They saw that, they felt that it was obscene, it was crude, it was offensive. The cross. The cross was Paul's delight. As God's instrument, he knew that it was his responsibility to spread the good news. And he spoke boldly about the wondrous cross of his Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't hesitate. He wasn't afraid of taking the risk of expounding upon the cross. In fact, he said there were two alternative paths to living a Christ-like life. One was you could glorify yourself, or you could glorify in the cross. When you and I look to the cross, we're called to remembrance. For as the sanctuary choir sang, without his cross, there is no pardon. Without his cross, there is no salvation. We are called as followers of Jesus Christ to live a life where the world, as Paul said, is crucified to us. We must bury, we must get rid of those values and morals that we have manipulated. The broken promises, the creation of detours and distractions that have prevented us from walking worthy in the sight of God. We need to get rid of those. And we must not be concerned about how the world sees us. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. We must walk in the light. We must remember the freedom that Christ purchased for us on the cross. And when we do this, we are changed. We are transformed. We have new life in Christ. Paul states very boldly, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is that new life, the new creation. And he spoke boldly. He boasted. This glorification by saying that circumcision and uncircumcision do not matter. Instead, Paul was expressing what was most important was the act of faith. That was everything. That was what was most important. And Paul states that the standard by which we should live our lives is found in the cross of Christ. The beginning of our Christian journey begins with the cross, and everything ends with the cross. When you and I wear a cross symbol, wear or bear, we should not view it as a decoration, but we should see it, experience it, really as a declaration of our faith that we are a follower of Christ. I love what one author says, Jesus makes us kosher. For you and I to live in Christ signifies that we remember it is the work of Christ It's His suffering. It's His sacrifice on our behalf that has made us a new creation in His sight. One of the choir anthems that we have sung a number of times at Easter time, the solo was taken by Karen. I too shall live, I too shall live. In the glory of the cross, I too shall live. And what it's saying is living in Christ means that we understand there is only one thing that we can do. In Christ alone, we need to trust, have humility, have faith, receive Him as our Lord of life. And then we too can boast. We can rejoice. We can celebrate. Knowing that there's no prerequisite, knowing that there is no ritual that is going to be manipulated for us to be, for us before we can follow it, before we can be stand in front of our Lord and Savior. God, with His arms wide open, accepts us as His children in His kingdom. We are whom He loves and whom He takes delight in. In verse 17, Paul says he's a marked man. What does that mean? Paul says, my marks and scars I carry with me to be my witness to Him who will now be my rewarder. The Galatian people had immense respect for the suffering of Paul. They knew that his marks and his scars were endured for the cross, for the gospel. They knew he was a servant of God. They knew he was an instrument of God proclaiming the good news. And we know that when he says, let no one make trouble for me, as one author, Lightfoot, says, let no one question my authority. Paul believed with his whole being, his whole heart, that what he preached was a divine message. It was God-breathed. Galatians was a charter of freedom. A large portion of the Galatian letter was written to deal with the controversy, and Paul confronted it, and he says, we do not need to convert to Judaism in order to be Christians. We are free to live in Christ. Yes, the writing of Galatians took place during a tumultuous time. But as Paul began the letter of Galatians, he ends peacefully and with a benediction. And he uses the word grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. He reminds the Galatians of the wondrous grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul has boasted in the glory of the cross, conveying that without the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no pardon. And the wondrous glory and the love of the cross is everything in Christ alone. And that makes everything possible. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And without His cross, there is no pardon. And without His cross, there is no salvation.